Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Nedarim Samachei. We begin right on top of the Amud Tanya. Says the Gemara, Tanya Han Mudar Ano Mechaveroi. If a fellow made a neder against having Hano'a from his friend, Ein Matirun Loi Ela Befonov. So if he wants to release himself of this nether, he can only do so in the presence of the other fellow. Why? The Ran presents two possible reasons. One is to facilitate embarrassment. And the Ran says, this would only pertain to a nether which affects his friend. So he made a sort of a commitment to his friend and he wants to undo. He wants to release himself of that commitment only in his presence. So if it's lahana osoi, if it's latoya alosoi, if it's to benefit Shimon, this which Reuven is committing, so it's only fair to go and do it in his presence. And let's see, in his presence, will you try to renege on that commitment? So, if yes, then we release you of your commitment. But it's only fair. You go find that person and then go and present your case to absolve yourself of your commitment. Now, according to this pshat, then this requirement to do it befanav is only if it was meant to benefit that person, if that nether was intended to benefit, to be mahana that person. So then it's only fair to backtrack on that commitment in his presence. Don't do it behind his back. But if it's just a plain nether which wasn't meant to benefit that person per se, then there's no reason to do it befanav. That's according to this approach. Ran brings another approach in the name of Deir Yerushalmi. Deir Yerushalmi says the reason why you do it only befanav, to avoid any tinge of suspicion, any appearance of wrongdoing. So I'm Reuven, you're Shimon, I make a nether not to have enough from you. And then I go to the Bezdin and they release me of that nether. And then I go and I have enough from you. And you see I'm having enough. You're wondering in your mind, what happened? Why are you reneging? Why are you violating your commitment? It creates chashat, suspicion of wrongdoing, and therefore the chachamim established, when you have this type of neder, make sure to go back to that person or bring him to the bezin. In any case, he should be aware. The Ran says, according to this pshat, as long as he's aware of the fact that you're doing hataras nedarim, you can just inform him, you know, I have released myself of this nether, and that explains why I'm going to join your simcha, etc. That diffuses this chashash of chashad. So two reasons for this halacha. Either b'pnei ha-chashad, in which case notification would mitigate that, or kadesh is bayish, b'pnei ha-busha, so that he's embarrassed to renege on his commitment. And according to that pshat in the Yerushalmi, it's only a concern if the whole nether was meant to benefit that person. It's only right to confront him when I am Mati the nether. Okay, so that will be two ways to learn the Gemara with a nafkamina on either way. Tanya Hamudar no mechaver. So again, he has a nether against having an offer from his friend. And there's a girsa befanav. So the nether was done befanav, which probably means that he knew about it. Okay? Ein matirun lo ela befanav. So there is no way to be matir unless you find that person. And you are matir the nether in his presence. Now the Iran brings here that b'di eved, perhaps it would work even shalei befanav. It's just a takana lechatchila. You should do it befanav. How do we know that in fact this is true? Minoha namili. Amar Rav Nachman from Moshe Rabbeinu with Yisrael. We know that he had promised Yisrael not to leave Midian without his permission. The Nefarshim give two reasons for it. One is to keep Yisrael company. One is to protect himself, Moshe Rabbeinu. To protect Moshe Rabbeinu from his threatening opponents, as we learned yesterday. Those who were pursuing him. Paroi, Dasan, Vaviron. So he promised Yisrael to stick around. And what happens later? Amar Rav Nachman, Dechsiv, Vayimer Hashem al Moshe, B'midyon, Lechshuv Mitzrayimu, Kimesu kol Anoshim. Hashem tells Moshe, B'midyon, seems to be an extra word. While he was in Midian, near his father-in-law Yisrael, it's time to go back. All your pursuers are no longer there. They've died. As we learned yesterday, they've lost their influence, they've lost their wealth. What's the point of saying, B'midyon? What's the lesson here? Amar Lo, because Hashem is telling him, in effect, look, you have all the conditions required for Hataras Nadarim. B'midyon Nadarta, it's true. You were in Midian when you made the nether, meaning it was a commitment to your father-in-law, and you're still there. Leich v'hater nedarcha b'Midian. So, it's perfect timing, perfect location. Go make the Hataras Nedarim in your father-in-law's presence with his knowledge, which will be the proper procedure to undo that nether. So you learn from here that when it's a nether pertaining to somebody else, he's got to know, he's got to be aware. The Chsiv, where do we see that Moshe Rabbeinu promised Yisroel? Vayoyel Moshe. It says, Vayoyel Moshe l'sheves es ha'ish. Vayoyel is a lashon shvo, he promised. He made an oath that he will stay with him. Ein Allah ela shvo, like we find elsewhere that Allah is a reference to a shvo. The Chsiv, Vayavei. It Isai Ba'Allah. This was by Nebuchadnezzar with Tzitzkiyo, and he brought him into an Allah. He made him swear, made him promise. We'll see in a minute what the promise was. And then it says Vagamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar Morad Asher Biyoi Belihim. The pasuk says that Tzitzkiyo in fact swore. Where did he swear? So apparently when it says Vayavei Oseh Ba'Allah, Allah is a reference to this Shvua. So clearly Allah is a Shvua. And the words Vayoyel Moshe likewise denote that Moshe Rabbeinu swore to Yisrael. And Hashem tells him, the only way to be matur that Shvua is here in Midian, in front of the subject of your nether, of your Shvua, which was Yisrael. Once we're on the topic of Tzidkiyo HaMelech's Shavua to Nebuchadnezzar, what was it all about? What's the background to the story? So the pasuk says that he rebelled, Marad. He turned around and he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who he had promised, who had committed to with a Shavua. What happened? What was the commitment, and how did he renege on that commitment? My Marduse. In what way did he renege? Answers the Gemara, Ashichei Tzidkiyo. So it happens that one time, Tzidkiyo notices Nebuchadnezzar. He notices this big king, this respectable king, the Ahava Ka'achal Arnevachaya. He was dismembering, he was eating a live rabbit. And some learn that he was trying to arouse his troops to Achzorius, to be mean, to be tough in battle. So he's showing them, a good example of how to behave in Achzorius, with meanness of the ultimate type. In any case, Nebuchadnezzar was quite embarrassed. Amar Leh, so he tells Tzidkiyo, this is a secret, never reveal this. Ishtabalid le'megalis ilavi, don't reveal this to anybody. Perhaps he was doing it, with his close circle of generals or something like that. In any case, don't make this public knowledge. This incident should never be revealed. Ishtabale, Tzidkiyo followed through, he swore. that he will keep it a secret. L'soif, ultimately, havo kamit starts his gyo begufei. He was personally very distressed about it, meaning he needed to reveal it, because he felt that in order to protect Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, he has to, you know, weaken the resolve of Nebuchadnezzar's accomplices, and by bad-mouthing him to his troops, to his fellow warriors, he will facilitate a lack of respect in Nebuchadnezzar, and he would weaken their resolve to go into battle with him and to follow him into war. That was his motive, and he was very distressed. He had a good secret, a good card to play. He needed to divulge. But he had a shvuah. Itchil a shvuah asay. So he went to the, you know, the Chacham, the Sanhedrin, and he undid the shvuah. V'omar, and he revealed the story. And the word got back to Nebuchadnezzar. And he was enraged. Shama Nebuchadnezzar, the Kumavazanli. Nebuchadnezzar hears that they're embarrassing him, that they're bad-mouthing him, degrading him for what he did. Shalach v'aisi Sanhedrin v'tzidkiyo. So he called over Sanhedrin and Tzidkiyo. Amar lahoyni, he tells them, Chazisun ma'ka'ov v'tzidkiyo. Look, did you see what Tzidkiyo did to me? Lav hochi hava. Isn't it so that he swore the ishtaba b'shma d'shmaya, that he swore the name of Hashem, d'lo'imagali, that he won't, d'lo'imagalis, that, you know, you won't reveal the secret? Had you? Why'd you go tell everybody? Armalei Tzidkiyo responds, Ishtili HaShvu'asa, I released myself of that Shvu'as, Mata the Shvu'a. Armalei Mitchalan HaShvu'asa, so he asked him, you know, there was such an idea of being Shayel on a Shvu'a. Armalei, yes, he says, sure. Amar Lehu, so he turns to the Sanhedrin. I have a question. Befanav or afilu shle befanav? When it's a Shvu'a, a commitment that pertains to another person, is it fair to do it even without him knowing? Or does halacha dictate that it needs to be done in his presence? Amrle befono. Sanhedrin responded, truthfully, yes, it has to actually be in his presence. Amrlohin, so the Rasha asks them, Va'atun mayavdisan, so why'd you do it in this way? Without my knowledge? My time aloyam rison. Leila Tzidkiyo, why didn't you inform Tzidkiyo HaMelech that not legal. You shouldn't have gone along with him. So the Ran actually says that their heter was because it was a dvar mitzvah. It said, Kyo have a mitzvah be yoyser. He needed to do it. He felt it was important. And he says another point, that it was mitzvah samelach. It said, Kyo was their king, and there's a mitzvah for them to listen to him. In any case, that was the reason for going along with it, even though this is not, you know, the ideal heter. In any case, having been scolded by the Rasha Nebuchadnezzar, they had no response. Miyad, immediately, Yeshvu la'oretz. This is a pasuk in Eicha. Yeshvu la'oretz yidmu ziknei bastion. So they were silenced and they dropped down to the floor. Amar b'Yitzchak melamed, we learned, Shishamtu karm tachtem. They pulled out the, you know, there were pillows from beneath them. They just sat on the floor, you know, in quiet acknowledgement. They've been, you know, had by the Russia. They had no response. Okay, in any case, we learn from here that typically, when there's a nether or a shvua for the same money, pertain to somebody else, the hatara needs to be befan of dafka. Continues the Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Leza tells us you can use noilad, some future development, as a way to get out of a nether. Chachamim disagree. It wasn't a factor that was present during the nether. You can't use it to undo a nether. Ramei Omer, yesh dvarim shehin kinoilad. You know, there is some phenomenon which appear like noilad, because they're, you know, a later development, but in halacha they're not treated like noilad. We'll soon explain. But ve'ein chachamim moedim loy, chacham don't agree. They also consider that as a noilad, and some are actually agurious, ve'chachamim moedim loy, and all agree that in fact it is such. So what's this sort of in-between case which is or isn't Noilat? Ketzad. Omar koinem shani noise esplenis. Shaviyara. He's making a neder against marrying a certain Isha. And he explains. She's got a bad father. I don't want to get too close to that family. So he's explaining himself. He's elaborating as per the reason for his nether. His nether is based on this factor. It turns out that the factor is non-existent. Omer lo mase. They tell him, look, he died. Father-in-law is no longer going to get you in your way. Oishasa tshuva, oidit tshuva. Great guy. Another example is, koinim al-bayis ha-shani nichnas. This house for me is off limits, and I'm explaining why. Scary dog there. Shakelav rab b'soichi. Oishan nochash b'soichi. There's a snake there. Amr loy. Then he's informed that there's no longer a dog or a snake. Meis ha-kelav. Oishan erga nochash. No dog alive. The dogs died. The snake was killed. So all these are almost like noilad. Harihen ki noilad. They give the impression of noilad because, you know, there was a subsequent, turn of events after the nether, which sort of changed the equation. But really, says Rav Meir, v'enu k'noilad, then he's not really like a noilad. Why? Because, you know, if he would have said, I'm not going to this house. Plain, simple, period. Then a year later, it turns into a shul. That's the case we had in the previous Mishnah. That's really noilad. So although he can claim, had I known that it would turn into a shul, I never would have made that nether. But you didn't explain. You didn't elaborate. You didn't condition your nether on it not being a shul. But here he did. He says, this Isha is not for me. Look at her father. Turns out her father is a great man. This house is not for me. There's a scary snake there. Well, guess what? There's no snake today. So his nether is contingent on that phenomenon, which is no longer in existence. And therefore, it can be used to release him of his nether to the point that perhaps you don't even need to go to a chacham. It was like a tanai. And therefore, the nether is mutter. Ve'en chacham emoidelim, the chacham don't agree. They also consider that to be a noilad, which cannot be used for ataras and darim. Says the Gemara, what exactly happened? Koinam shan nichas l'bayezeh, right? And the dog died. Meis noiladu. Question is, when did the dog die? After he made the nether. That's noilad. How can you say it's not really noilad? It is. Amar avhuna nasa ket toile nidra bedover. Fact is, he conditioned his nether on a specific detail. This house is scary because of the dog. I'm not marrying that Isha because of her father. That's not really noilad if things change. As long as her father is behaving in this manner, I'm not going near that family. As long as the dog is in this house, I'm not going near that dog, near the house. No dog, no nether. That's Rav Huna's approach. Rabbi Yechon Omar, it's even better than that. When the Mishnah says, the dog died, you know when that happened? Prior to the nether. Unbeknownst to him, while he was making the nether, there was no longer a dog. So the nether never took off. Ukvar meis. Ukvar se tshuva. The dog was already dead. The father-in-law, prospective father-in-law, was already a baal tshuva. Ka'amri lei. Ka'amri nilei. And therefore, it's not really noilad. It was a mistaken impression that he had. So the nether never took off to begin with. So it would seem that both of these pshatim, Rav Huna and Rav Yechon, will both hold, since the facts were different than either different at the time of the nether or later on they changed. You don't even need to go to a chacham. Because there is no nether. Nether was based on a certain premise, which is not there, or was never there. Masiv Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba has a kasha. The Mishnah later in the Samach Vav speaks about another fellow who makes a koinam she'eni noisil aplonius, another against marrying such and such person, ku'ura, who is not nice looking. Vareino, it turns out that he was mistaken. He thought she was ku'ura, she was really pleasant looking. Shechayra, he said, I'm not marrying this Isha who is dark skinned. Vari Yelavona, turns out she's light skinned. Ketzara, she's short. Vari Arucha, turns out she is actually tall. So it was a mistaken, premise. What is the halacha? Mutorbo, he may marry her. Let me play Shekura Vanasa. No, Vanasa's no. The reason for the heter is not because she indeed was Chura and then developed it to something else, she became no. Or originally she was Shechera, and then Vanasa's Levana, and then it turns out that she whitened. Uktzara Vanasa's Arucha, she was short, and then she became tall. That's not the case. That's not what we're speaking about. Rather, Elosha Neder Tos. We're speaking the case where, this is all the Eloshna Mishnah, that this fellow was simply mistaken in his facts. He was mistaken in his homework. He thought she was short, she was really tall. So the nether was a toast mi'ikara. Okay? Now, the Ron points out, why is it specifically in speaking about such a scenario that it was really different than what he thought? So the Ron says, because in this case you cannot apply the same formula, the same rationale as we applied by the case of the house with the dog. You see, he says, a dog is bound to die. It makes sense that that it was tully in the life of the dog, and the dog dies. There's no nether. But to say that a ktsara will turn into a lavana, into a arucha, that's unlikely. And therefore, you cannot say that he was hinging his nether on her looking this way, and then if you change that factor, then the nether is mutter. It wasn't part of his program. He wasn't expecting it to change. So unlike the previous Mishnah, which were, factors that are sort of bound to change, good chance a person will do tshuva, etc. So when he makes a nether, it was dependent upon that, factor being present. And as soon as that factor changes, the nether is mutter. But here we're speaking about absolute, phenomena, which are not really likely to change. And therefore, even if it would change, it wouldn't really change the nether. Because the nether was not based on that, factor's presence, which would change when the factor changes. That's not what his das was. He wasn't expecting it to change. Or another pshat says the Ron, when he says, I'm not going to marry this Isha because she is a ktsara, it wasn't sort of a reason. It was just like identifying her. The ktsara Isha, I'm not marrying, period. So even if the situation would, the factors would change, it wouldn't be a heter. In any case, that's the way the Mishnah presents the case. We're not speaking about a changed equation. We are speaking about a toos mi'ikara. He thought she was one thing. She really was something else to begin with. Okay? Fine. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we have two ways to explain. Right? We had Rav Huna, who says, a father turned into a Baal Tshuva, and he was toiled the nether upon being Ra. He's no longer Ra. He's toiled in the house that has the Kelev. Kelev is no longer there. But Rabbi Yechon says, the father was a fine man at the time of the nether. It's a toast. A dog was not there at the time of the nether. It's a nether of a toast. So now, Bishlam Rav Huna de Amar Nasa, Ketoyle Nidra Bedover. It's fully understandable. It makes sense. According to Rav Huna, who says that the previous Mishnah is not speaking that the equation was non-existent. Rather, the equation was really there, the way he thought it was. But then it changed later on, and since he was tailored nether in that factor, then the factor changes. That's ample reason for heter. So according to that pshat in that Mishnah, we understand that Tana Tayla Nidra Bedover. Right? So first, we speak about a fellow who's Tayla Nidra Bedover. Right? Again, according to Rav Huna, Domar Na Seke Tayla Nidra Bedover. The Pshan, the previous Mishnah. The Heter is because he was Tayla Nidra in a certain phenomenon. So therefore, Tana Toilo Nidr B'davar. First, the Mishnah discusses that. That's ample reason for Heter. And then we move on to the next case. V'tana Nidr Toros. We speak about a more outright Heter, which is Nidr Toros, where the factor was non-existent at the time of the Nidr. So it's bringing out two different Chidushim. First we speak about a greater Chidush, then sort of to an easier Chidush. Elo Rabbi Yechon, the Amar Kvar Meis. We're going to Rabbi Yechon's approach. Well, the reason for the Heter in the previous Mishnah was because it was a Toros. He thought Avia was Ra. He thought it was a Kelev. It turns out that it wasn't there. It wasn't the way he thought. So that the nether itself was another Toros, so why repeat itself? Lama Lila Misni, Trey Zimni, nether Toros, Kashi. Why would the Mishnah have to repeat the same idea once and again? It's based on the same exact premise. He was mistaken in his facts. So why repeat it? Once there, once here. Kasha, we'll leave it as a kasha. V'oidam Rav Meir. Here comes another chiddush from the same Tana Rav Meir. Although we learned back in the Avchav Beis, we learned many times in the Masechta, we don't pressure people. We try not to intimidate this fellow. Well, do you know how terrible it is to make a nether? Because then you'll never know. It won't really be a true gauge of his real feelings. Even if he retracts, maybe he's just intimidated. He's pressured. It's not a genuine expression of regret. But, says Rav Meir, certain things you can use. You can use a specific mitzvah in the Torah to address his situation, to dissuade him from a nether. But you can tell him. These aren't so, scary and intimidating. And if in fact he goes along and regrets, you hope it's genuine and real. V'omerle, for instance, we tell him, Ilu Yisayadeya, you're making a darim against, interacting with people. If you would have known, Shato Eivra Leisitar, it's an expression of an avera, you're taking revenge, you're harboring hard feelings. V'al Leisisna, Esachicha B'lvavecha, it's an expression of dislike towards a yid. What happened to Avos Yisrael? Why are you disengaging from people? How are you going to support this fellow? How are you going to give this poor man tzedakah if he can't have an offer from you? Shema Ya'ani, maybe he'll lose his wealth. He'll need to come on to you for tzedakah. How are you going to support him? If there's a nether against giving him anah. So once we confront him with these psukim, and he responds in kind, Omar, he says, oh, you're right. Ilu Yisayadeya Shukin. If only I would have even had the slightest inkling that my nether leads me to these averus, lo Yisay Noider, of course, I would never have thought of making this nether. If he does that, he's a mutar, he's off the hook. So we're going to focus on the last pasuk, V'chei Achicha Imach, which compels a person to support a poor man, a friend, a relative in need. Neymar, even if you challenge him, did you know that this type of nether is going to collide with the chiyuv d'oraisa of giving tzedakah v'chei achicha imach? The person could just respond and say, Neymar, he'll say, kol d'mani lo v'lo nafil. You think every person that becomes an ani comes running to me is my responsibility. My demotilu lefarnasoi. True, I have to contribute to the town's stucca fund. True. What's obligated, what's mechiv to me, what falls on me, meaning my part, bahadi kuli alma lefarnasnale. I'll do it together with everybody else. I'll give the gaba, my dues, my stucca money, and that's it. And the ani will take from the gaba, which is mutter. The Ran brings the Mishnah back on the Femches. You can actually use an intermediary. I can give money to Reuben, give Shimon money to give over to Levi, as long as he doesn't instruct him to do so. So even if Levi cannot accept from Reuben directly, but by way of a third party, it's mutter. I'm gonna pay my tzedakah dues every month to the Gabbai, and the Gabbai will give the poor people, including this enemy of mine, who may not have direct hanah from me. So what kind of a threat of is this? What do you mean? I'll be Makai my mitzvah. beautifully by giving the gabay tzedakah. So this was a question posed to the Rabbanon, and the Zagir said it was posed to Rabba. Omer leis, Rabba responded, Ani Omer, my response to that is like this. Kol ha-noifel, eina noifel lidei gabay tchila. He says, typically, when a person is noifel, you know, he loses his financial footings, typically, who does he go to first? You think he goes to the town's fund first, to the gabay first? No. First, he tries privately by friends and relatives to help him out. So that's the problem. If you're disengaging from this fellow, and one day he comes to the point that he needs financial support, who is he going to go to first? You think he's going to go to the city fund first? No. He'll try to keep it under wraps. Try to keep it confidential. First, the person he's going to come to is you, his friend, his relative, his neighbor. And if you make this nether against him, you're going to be in trouble. And therefore, it can be used as a way to discourage these types of nedar. Says the Mishnah, another way to discourage a person. You can use the vast ksuba expenditure, the chiyuv of ksuba, to dissuade a person, to discourage a person, a husband, who made a nether against his wife having an offer from him. We present this husband with his ksuba obligations as a factor to discourage him from a nether against his wife. In fact, there's a story. This fellow made a nether against having an anah from his wife, which spells trouble. And she had a pretty big ksuba. Vaisu ksubasa tough dinner. The fact is that way back when they married, in better times, he obligated himself to a huge ksuba payout, way more than the standard 400 dinarim, in case he divorces. Okay, now it's time to divorce. Ba masa lefnei Rabbi Akiva, and the case is presented to Rabbi Akiva. They're divorcing, and he's fully obligated. In fact, Rabbi Akiva says no discounts. He says, Rabbi, 400 zuz right here. Amar le Rabbi, he says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, ches, give me a discount. Amar chmanas, ches meyes dinrin heniach ab. Look, when father passed away, you know what he left for me and my brother? 800 dinar in total. Notal achidal meyes, vanidal meyes. My brother took 400. I was left with merely 400. You can get that all from me? Loidaya, isn't it enough? Isn't it fair for her? Shatitol hi masayim. Let's split it. She takes 200. Vani masayim, I'll take 200. Amud Rabbi Akiva says, no discounts. Even if you're compelled to sell the hair off your head, you'll pay her to the last penny of the ksuba. Amar Lei said, this fellow was really in a bind. He says, oh, I was expecting a discount. If I would have only realized what this situation will lead to, I never would have made a nether. I would have lived in peace and harmony with her. Rabbi Akiva was mati the nether based on this acknowledgement. So this backs up the halacha that you can use the ksuba payout obligation as a method of discouragement, a method of ataras nedarim. Now, you know, Rabbi Akiva tells him, there's no way out. You wrote, you're mechayev, you're obligated, pay it out. Even if you sell the hair on your head, which is really, it's not real estate, it's metatalin, right? It's movable items. Metatalin mi mishtabdi luksuba, it's a chiddush. Typically, when an isha marries, she's thinking, you know, ksuba usually happens through husband's death, or a divorce. She's thinking real estate, something which is, you know, secure, not going anywhere. That's where her smichas das is on. That's really what she's, you know, banking on, so to speak. Not metaltalin, you know, movables which can just, you know, be taken away and never seen from again. So it's a chiddush to say that metaltalin, the seer of his roish, a meshabet to the ksuba, metaltalin meshtab to ksuba. Also, is that true that metaltalin also meshubet, also bound for the ksuba payout. Amar Abaye, no, you're right. We don't mean the he's not going to have to actually pay the sarayshay, only karka. Karka shava chesmi is dinar. This fellow was yerish, karka, 800 dinar worth, which he split with his brother, and he had 400, which he needed to pay her in full. That's karka, not metatla. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But the Mishnah speaks about his hair. Vaktani sarayshay. It was sarayshay, that's metatla nu. Hachikam, he meant to tell him like this. Even if you give away every last asset of yours, with nothing left for yourself, which will compel you to sell your hair to support yourself, even if it compels you to resort to selling your own hair to support yourself, you still have to give it all away. Give what away? The karka away. Asks the Gemara. You know, there's a halacha called Mesadrin the Baal Chayiv. If a person commits to Hegdish and he's short on funds, there's a whole arrangement. We give him, you know, we set aside what he needs, you know, for 12 months. And that's his own, allowance. And the rest he gives to Hegdish. So we don't literally take away, you know, every last penny, leaving him totally destitute. And here, it would seem that we give her everything. Shamas mino ein masajon lebal chayiv. So can we, you know, conclude from here that there's a machlokes above metzia, whether in a situation where a person is obligated, he has a loan and he's got to pay up and he's totally short, do we take it all away, leaving him with nothing, or do we actually give him some allowance, a reasonable amount for next year, and the rest we give to the baal chayiv? It would seem from this mishnah we don't do that. Ein masajon lebal chayiv. We don't make this arrangement for a Baal Chayiv. He has to give away every single penny. Perhaps we are Masader. We would make an arrangement for him. But the Chiddush here is that even if he's agreeable, he says, you know what? I don't need favors. I'm giving you everything. Everything. And all he's left with is the Sar Roshay to support himself. We still don't tear up the ksuba unless she gets paid in full. So let's say he wouldn't have, enough to pay the full amount, but he's giving her everything that he has. He's being totally generous, leaving nothing for himself. Which is really, lifnim mishur sadin, beyond the letter of the law. Don't think, says Rav Akiva to this fellow, don't think that, you're off the hook. No. If you manage to get more, income later on, you have to complete the process. You have to pay out the whole ksuba payout. That was that was the point that he was making. But perhaps, halachically speaking, we do the concept of misajon al malchayv. Typically, we would, make an arrangement, a financial arrangement, leave a reasonable amount within the hands of the loiva to just get him through the year. But here we're speaking, if he did it even lifnim reshus hadin, he gave her everything. But if it wasn't the complete payout, you're going to have to work and work until you actually pay it out. Just because you're generous doesn't mean you get off the hook until you pay out the full chiyuv kesuba. So what did we learn today? We had a chiddush that if there's a neder which pertains to somebody else, he has to know about the Hataras Nedarim. We found this by Moshe Rabbeinu with Yisroel. We found this by Tzidkiyo with the Rosh Nebuchadnezzar. Rameir is mechadish that when one actually stipulates in the actual nether that it's dependent on a certain phenomenon, and then we find the phenomenon to be non-existent, whether according to Rav Huna, even if it was a later development, or according to Rav Yechon, it was totally non-existent from day one, the heter is off. Rameir says you can use a pasuk in the Torah, a lav, an asay, avas Yisrael, etc., to discourage a person from keeping his neder. As well, we find the next mishnah we can use the large ksuba payat to discourage a person from holding on to his neder, to restore peace and harmony in a Jewish home. May we have much aslacha, psuras tovus, and siyata deshmaya. Amen.